Vov Adar, Monday the 2nd of March, Rabbi Shmuel Nossen Greenberg, for Osu Li Mikdosh.
Good morning. The Shloh in Parshas Vayeshev tells us an interesting idea about the state of the earth. We all know this, say the parashas, we start Bereishis at the beginning of after Sukkot, first week, and we carry on through the year. And he says that the parashas, the way they say them, where they land in the year, is not coincidental. They connect very much to each part of the year, and each section of the year has its parashas. And as we know, the parashas of the Mishkan, Trumot, Tzaveh, Vayakal, Pekudei, nearly always fall round Purim. I'd like to discuss an idea found in the Mishkan and perhaps connect it to Purim and what the lessons are for us. The pasuk at the end of Parshas Yisro tells us a din about the Mizbeach. The pasuk says, Im Mizbeach Avonim Taseli. Rashi tells us, Im is a command, it's a chayva, when you make a Mizbeach of Avonim, it's a din, make a Mizbeach of stone. Lesasa es hen gozes, don't make them out of hewn stone. It's the pasuk, why? Because your sword, you have waved upon it, and you have profaned it. Says Rashi, when do we have a Mizbech Havonim? In the Beis HaMikdosh. The din of the Beis HaMikdosh, in the Beis HaMikdosh, to build a Mizbech of stone. And Rashi, we all know the Rashi explains what's the problem with a sword on Mizbech, and Rashi says, because a Cherev is Milchoma, Mizbech is Sholim, and a Cherev is Mekatz, it shortens the life of man, Mizbech is Marit to the life of man. Therefore, it's not really that the sword should wield power over the Mizbech. The question is that the Torah tells us this din only by Mizbech Avonim, in the Beis HaMikdosh. Why does din not apply in the Mishkan? Mishkan was also Mizbech. Mizbech in the Mishkan was also a Marek. It's also maybe Shalom. And in the town of Mishkan, a Cherev was also a Mekatzah. So why in the Mishkan do we not have this din of Lesson of Leo Barzal? Why does it not apply? Now, Rabbeinu Bakkai says, don't ask me why the Mishkan, the Mizbech and the Mishkan was actually made out of copper itself, or metal itself. He says, no, because the whole din of not having a sword in Mizbech could be only iron. Barzel, copper's not a. But the original question, why does the din of not putting a Mizbech in the Mishkan, why doesn't that apply? Meaning, if someone walked into the Mishkan and took a piece of metal, took a sword and cut the Mizbech with it, they would have to replace it. But they wouldn't, because the din is only in Beis HaMikdosh. Why? What's the difference? There's a fundamental difference between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdosh. When we go to the Nidvei HaMishkan, the Kaddish Rabbah bought 13 or 15 things, Rashi says 13 for the Mishkan. Those very items were actually incorporated and used within the Beis HaMishkan. Meaning, in the Beis HaMikdosh, when they came from the Dovas to build the Beis HaMikdosh, there was a gizbo, there was an appointee, and everyone gave him their money, or their items, or their valuables, whatever it might have been, and he took that to buy what he needed and what was necessary for the binyan Beis HaMikdosh. In the Mishkan, it didn't work like that. In the Mishkan, the Torah said, please give for the Mishkan these specific items, and these specific items that you donate will be the very ones used within the Mikdosh. Sorry, within the Mishkan. What's the difference? Why? What's this glaring difference? So Gedal Yashor says a beautiful idea. He writes like this. He says that these 13 items, these 13 materials that were donated for the Mishkan, he says they're all Ramazim, they all are represent ideas of Madriga or Midah which a person can reach in Torah. So Darga in Torah, Darga Vasoga in Torah. He says, for example, he says one of the items was Kesef. Kesef, silver. Says Kesef is always Miramis to Ava Sasha. The Pasuk says Kesef Loshon of Ava, the Pasuk says Nichsef Nichsefti. The Pasuk says Nichsef Gam Kol Fenafshi. The Pasuk always Kesef is always Loshon of Ava. Says on the other hand you have Zov. Zov is always Malchus. Zov is the remit of kings. And Malchus, Malek is always Yiro, Zov is always made to Yerushalayim, and it's so on, all 13 materials, and remembers to different dargas in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan. Sorry, different darks in the Torah. And he says that when Klal Yisrael were asked to give these 13 items, each person came along and was misragish. He felt a emotion, he felt a push to give certain items. Which ones did he feel a push to give? The very ones that were the idea that the darks in Torah that he connected with, those that connected the ones, the madrigals in Torah that he connected to, those were the items that he gave. Meaning, if a person had he connected to Torah through Abbas Hashem, so he gave Kesef. If he connected through Yira, he gave Zov. And so forth. Each one in Klal Yisrael could feel how his darga in Torah was and what the level of Torah he had reached. Could feel all the different middas. And Hasogas is what he gave to the Mishkan. Therefore, says Rabbi Daniel, the Mishkan wasn't just a building, so to speak. It was rather much more than that. The Mishkan was a gili, or was a manifestation of the darkest of Klal Yisrael, of the neshamas, of the essence of Klal Yisrael. Meaning each person gave to the Mishkan the level that he had reached, who he actually was, a gili of who he was as a person. But maybe when the Mishkan, as a building, was much more than the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was a building that Klal Yisrael donated the Hekdash. The Mishkan was rather a building which incorporated, in a sense, the essence of Klal Yisrael. It was comparable to the complete Klal Yisrael. Therefore, we find that the Mishkan was never destroyed. The Mishkan was never destroyed. At the time after when they built Mishkan Shilei, the Mishkan was nignas. It was never destroyed. Because it's like Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are not in this world, are not under Shlitas of Teva. Teva can't conquer Klal Yisrael, so too Teva can't conquer the Mishkan. The Beis HaMikdash, on the other hand, was yes found in this world, it was a building within this world, it was found in this world. Teva could conquer the Beis HaMikdash, therefore it was destroyed. The Maral tells us that the gematria of Hechel is 65. The gematria of Yavon is 66. Says Maral, there's a koyach in Yavon, there's a koyach in Maral Subachanak, it's about Yavon, but there's a koyach in this world, there's a koyach of people who attack us at Teva to control the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishkan is not, the Mishkan is never called a Hechel, the Mishkan is a Kodesh. In the Mishkan, it's a Kodesh and a Kodesh Kodoshim. It's a Kodesh, it's above. It's elevated. There's no ability for Teva to conquer or to control the Beis HaMikdash. Like Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan, sorry, like Klal Yisrael. Therefore, we can now understand why there's no Issa to the Issa of Hanafas Chareva, Issa to use iron in the Mishkan. In the Beis HaMikdash, where there's a Shlita of Teva, Teva can control, Teva can conquer the Beis HaMikdash, we've got to be careful. The influences of the wider world, the influences of iron, the influences of Teva, don't bring them in. Because they can wield power of the Mishkan. Be careful, over the Beis HaMikdash. Be careful you don't bring in the Beis HaMikdash. Mashenke in the Mishkan, which is above Teva, which is like Klal Yisrael, which are above and beyond, Teva doesn't have any control. But it's meaningless to say don't bring in a sword and hit Mizbech with it. It will make no difference anyway. There's no ability for the sword to be mainif over the Mizbech with it. Says Rabbi Dali, this is Pshat the Medrash. The Medrash starts off, the Medrash beginning of Yisrael. It's the beginning of Truma, sorry. It starts off, it says, Kilekatim l'satrechem terosi al tazoivu. Torah starts, what's the Truma? Kilekatim l'satrechem terosi al tazoivu. Torah is a lekach toivu. Says the Medrash. You person goes to buy something in a shop. He can buy kesef. He can buy zov. If he buys zov, it's not kesef. He buys kesef, it's not zov. Torah has both. Has both kesef and zov. It's special. Ask Rav Dali, why is this coming to Truma? What's this to do? Why is this the psicha to Binyan HaMishkan? The psicha, the introduction to Binyan HaMishkan is Ki Lekach Toiv. Why? God is our Torah. It's important, but why is that the psicha to Mishkan? So Rav Dali, now we understand. The Mishkan is not just a building, so to speak, but rather the Mishkan is the complete. It's the essence that comes out of the completion of Klal Yisrael, the Darga and Torah, and Klal Yisrael are Torah, Mekablei Torah. They built the Mishkan after Kabbalah and Torah. Klal Yisrael are Mekablei Torah. It's who Klal Yisrael are in the Mekablei Torah that created the Mishkan. And these are the items within the Mishkan. And therefore, of course, the Psicha to Mishkan is to tell us that there's Kesev in Torah, there's Zov in Torah, there's Dargas in Torah that a person must reach and a person must grab onto. Now, understanding this lesson of Rav Gedalia Shor, that the Klal Yisrael are eternal, and Klal Yisrael are Malach and Teva, and the Mishkan, which is the Gili of Klal Yisrael, is also Malach and Teva. Therefore, it's not Shaykh destruction on the Mishkan, and it's not Shaykh destruction on Klal Yisrael either. The problem with this idea would be the Medrash on Megillah. And the Medrash on Megillah goes through the story of what happened during the Gzeirah on Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash tells us that when Klal Yisrael went with Menena from Suda Achashverosh, and the Sultan ran to Akash Baruch and said, Ribbon Shlerim, Ad Mosai Tidbak Ba Umazu. For how long are you going to connect? Are you going to keep connected to Klal Yisrael? Shem Afrishim Levovim Munos Mimimimkal. They're running away from you. He said, destroy. So said to Ribbon Shlerim, destroy Klal Yisrael. And as soon as the Sultan said that, and Akshboku agreed, Akshboku said, Haveli Megillah ve'echtav lei kloya. Bring me a Megillah and I will write on it destruction. The Sultan ran and he went. The Havi le Megillah, he brought a scroll. Because of the Rebbeinu wrote on it a Gzeirah of Klei and Klal Yisrael. Miyod yotza atir bigdei almonos. The Torah came out wearing clothes of mourning. Venosna ked bifkri. It cried in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Malchus shoyt tzaku. Vam lefon. I said the Rebbeinu Shalom. Im Yisrael b'teir manev. Yisrael are destroyed. Yisrael don't exist anymore. Onu lomon tzichu v'olam. Why do you need us malachim? Why do you need Torah? And the Chama Levona heard, and they came, and the Kechovim. And there was tremendous Bechia. The Mazolas came, and Eliyahu Novi heard what was going wrong, what was going on. And the Medrash says, but Eitzisho Rotz Eliyahu Zocholatoch. Eliyahu Novi, he ran, but Beholo, Eitzel Avos Elim. He went to the Ovis, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Eitzel Moshe Ben Amram, to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'omalehem, Admosei Avos Elim Redumim B'Sheina. Until when will the fathers of the world, will there be sleeping? Will they be in a deep sleep? And you're not going to look. Watch out! You're not going to look and see the tzor that Klal Yisrael in. Why? Kimalchi Ashoris, the Chama, Levona, the sun, the moon, the Kechov, the stars, Mazolis, Shemay, Boris, even the heavens and the earth. Bechol tzva amorim, boichem bemeret. They're all crying bitterly. The atem imdim neged. You're standing here. Boichem ashkichem, and you don't care. It's a tiny for Eliyahu Novi on Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Omelos, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov said to Eliyahu Novi, but he's a man. So kfelech a gzera, but why? Why a gzera? Omelahem, Eliyahu Novi answered them, b'nei shenenu Yisroel m'sudot shel Achashverosh. You know why they were gzera clear? Because they had anor from the sud of Achashverosh. Uba'avuzois, and because of this, nigzra aleim gzera lechaleis min ha'ilam, is a gzera of destruction. Omelos, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov answered him, Imhim ovdu al dasa kadosh baruch hu. They did as avera. They went to the sud of Achashverosh, and they got gzadin. Mo on yichirim nasis. What can we do? So gzera clear. The gzera will happen, and Klal Yisrael will be destroyed. Eliyahu wasn't satisfied. Chaz Eliyahu v'omlo lemoishi ran to Moishe said, Roy and Emon, come from matzavet. How many times did you save Klal Yisrael when they were in a matzav of tzara? Also come now. So Moshe said to him an interesting question. Klum yesh odom echod. Klum yesh odom kosher ba'isadar. Is there a single kosher man? A single man who's kosher in this generation? One man. Omala, yesh, there is one man. Ushmoy Mordechai. Mordechai Yehudi, he's the single man who's kosher in this day. So Moshe said to him, go and tell him, he'll daven in the world, I'll daven up here, and together we'll battle the gzera. He says, Moshe, before you go, one last question. This gzera, is it a gzera tit? Is it sealed with cement? Im gzera dam? Or is the gzera sealed with blood? What's the difference? It says Moshe, if it's a gzera tit, we can dam. If it's a gzera of dam, it's too late. Moshe, goza, we can't change it at all. So Eliyahu said to him, no, it's tit. So he said, go daven. He says, the Medrash starts the Mordechai yodas kol Hashem asa. Mordechai knew what was going on. Now, it's very, very clear from this Medrash. There's two types of gzeiras. There's a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a regular gzeira, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants tefillas. He wants Klal Yisrael to tshuva. So he brings a gzeira. It's not etzmedin clear. Klal Yisrael is not going to destroy Klal Yisrael. He's going to save them. He wants that tefillas. He wants that tshuva. He wants something from them. So he creates a gzeira. In this Medrash, it's very, very clear that gzeira Purim wasn't like that. A gzeira Purim was a different type of gzeira. It was a gzeira where Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov saw no hope. They saw the complete destruction of Klal Yisrael. We can't daven. There is no Pesach. There's no way of getting around over here. The sun, moon, stars, the heavens and the earth, the whole creation, the Bria Sa'olam understood that this was a gzeira of destruction and there is no hope. Therefore they came and nothing helped. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who did daven, had a tzad, had an option over here that was a gzeira of dan, a gzeira which has no turning back and can't be changed. But it wasn't. It happened to be tits. He could get away with it. So everyone understood over here that there's a possibility of complete destruction. But I don't understand. If Klal Yisrael malam teva, Klal Yisrael, we said like the Mishkan, teva can't be shared of a Klal Yisrael. How can there ever be a gzeira of complete destruction? As the Medrash tells, Torah mati ala, Shemaim v'oretz mati ala, doesn't matter. They'll be destroyed because Klal Yisrael is a din of destruction. But how can that be? How can there ever be a gzeira on Klal Yisrael which demands complete destruction? The Mechom of Amalek for Klal Yisrael, we know the Chazal tell us, the Pasuk says by the first time Amalek fought Klal Yisrael, it says, Asher Korcho Baderech, they met you on the way. Korcho, loshen of happenstance. Amalek said, nothing comes, no, there's no Ashkocha, nothing comes from above, there's nothing comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no connections, it's happenstance. It just is. Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, we know the Nefesh Chaim tells us at length, Klal Yisrael are the ones who we connect this world with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we connect this world with the worlds above, we connect this world with Ruchnias. All Shefa, all Brocha that comes down to this world, comes down to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are the conduit, so to speak, from Kedusha, from Ruchnias, to the physical world. Amalek said, there is no connection. We don't need a connection. There is no connection between this world and any Kedusha, between any element of Ruchnias. Haman said the same thing. Haman came to Achashverosh the Taina. Said Yesh Ne'amecha, there's one nation, Befuzu Mefoirot, Ve'ein HaMelech Shevel Anichom. It's not worth the king keeping them. I mean, there's no benefit to the king to have Klal Yisrael. And Chazal tell us, we're talking about a king who is Melech Bekipi, who ruled over the whole world. That means in the complete world, the whole globe, the complete world that Achashverosh ruled over, you could cut Klal Yisrael out of the picture completely, Ein HaMelech Shevel Anichom, and there's no loss. It'll make no difference. The world will continue. Every nation serves a purpose. Every nation has... Klal Yisrael, says Haman, they're not needed. Haman was saying, the message of Haman was, the world will continue without Klal Yisrael. They're not connecting. They're not bringing down. They're not connecting anything above. There is no connection between above and below. The world will continue. Now, in truth, that power of Amalek should have no power over Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael do connect. And Amalek shouldn't be able to just come in and cut it like that. But the Shlok tells us that there was one change that happened in history. And that was when Yaakov was left Lovam and was going back towards Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. And he met Esav on the way. And on the way to Esav, he came forward and all the Shvatim bowed down to Esav. They were machniat to Esav. They bowed down. He said, Esav, Adoni, you're the boss. And they subjugated themselves to Esav to an extent. Says the Shlok, that point... When the Shvatim bowed down, they made themselves subservient to Esav, they gave Esav a shlita over Klal Yisrael. They gave Esav a certain power of control, a certain ability to define Klal Yisrael's future. And Amalek, who's the grandson of Esav, was one who took that. He grabbed that. Amalek grabbed that and he used that ability to try and destroy Klal Yisrael. But there was one Shevet, there was one of the Shvatim who was not there at the time. Binyamin hadn't yet been born. Binyamin therefore didn't bow down to Esav. Says the Shlok, therefore, Esav never had a shlit over Binyamin. Had a shlit over all the other Shvatim, but Binyamin, there was no control over. That's why we find, says the Shlok, that Shol HaMelech, before there could be a Malchus based of it, before we could really bring Malchus to Klal Yisrael and we can really bring the Shechinah properly into this world, we need to destroy Amalek. Amalek who's the anti, Amalek who said there is no connection between this world above. How do we destroy Amalek? Binyamin. First, it has to be a Melech of Binyamin. Shol HaMelech. Malchus of Binyamin first. Once the Malchus of Binyamin and Shol can destroy Amalek, he can be conquered, he can be completely kill Amalek like you're supposed to, then we can have a Malchus Yehuda. Then we can have a Klal Yisrael and Malchus Be'etzim. But the only one who can do that is Binyamin. Now, Mordechai understood this. Mordechai knew that. Mordechai realized that the only way to fight the Haman, the only way to fight Amalek, is to be Zereshel Binyamin. Be from Binyamin. But just one man from Binyamin is not enough. Mordechai is not the only man from Shevet Binyamin in Klal Yisrael. There was many other people. But Mordechai understood something more. The Apostle tells us that when Haman was Haman was good. Haman made the takana din that everyone has to bow down. He decreed everyone has to bow down to him. He walked with the Zohar, and everyone. And the Pasuk tells us one man didn't. Mordechai didn't bow down. But the Pasuk says it in interesting lashon. The Pasuk says that when Mordechai didn't bow down, the Pasuk says Mordechai. He says it v'leikom v'leizom imenu. Haman saw that Mordechai was leikom v'leizom. Didn't get up and he didn't move. Till he didn't bow down. Get up, didn't move. So the Mona Zalevi explains that this. He says, Haman knew that Mordechai wasn't going to bow down to him. Haman knew that none of the Gedolim were going to bow down to him. None of the Nevi'im of the time would bow down to him. It didn't bother him. Because they all left the town, they went. Haman was coming around the corner, they ran around the other corner. They hid behind the doorway. They weren't seen. Nobody saw them. Mordechai came, leikom v'leizov. He stayed, he stood, he sat, and he didn't get up. He said to Haman, I see you coming, I know you're coming, and I'm going to show you that I'm not getting up. Who asked Mordechai to do this? Why? He's risking his life. Haman could have turned around and killed him for it. Why? Shouldn't the great people of the time, there was Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, both Beleria, and the Pasuk tells the Cheresh from Asaga, Elif, they were all Nevi'im, 1,000 Nevi'im. All of them, they disappeared. They managed to run away. They got out of it. Mordechai didn't. What did he see? Why did he choose to risk his life in such a way? Says the Monis Alevi, says Shlomo Kabetz, the Mordechai realized that the Gezer of here, the Koyach of Haman, is a Koyach to cut a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of this world, to disconnect this world from any Kedusha. Says Mordechai, the only way to defeat them is to show Kibbutz Shem Shemaim, to show Kiddush Hashem. So I could disappear, and then everyone in the world will turn around and say, everyone bow down to Haman. But there's an element of Kiddush Hashem over there. Because they won't say, Klal Yisrael bow down to Haman, but they'll say, everyone bow down to Haman. Says Mordechai, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to risk my life. I'm going to sit here in front of Haman, and I'm going to show the world I won't bow down to Haman. I'm going to Kiddush Shem Shemaim a level which is not mechuyev of me, a level which I don't have to. But I want to show that no, there is Ribbono Shel Olam in this world, and Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who rules, and Amalek, you don't have any shlita. Therefore, it was Mordechai, none of the other Nevi'im at the time, but particularly Mordechai, who understood this message of Kiddush Shem Shemaim, and who was Mizera Ben Yomin, who had the shlita to conquer Amalek, who is the particular one who is able to stand up and bring the Geula of the eventual goal of the story of Purim, as we know it follows through. Therefore, true, really, Klal Yisrael and the Mishkan. Klal Yisrael and the Mishkan are in certain respects, one. And the Teva has no shlita over Mishkan or Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael had given that kirch to Esav, it had to be Mordechai who came to bring it back. Now, in truth, this really is the lesson of Purim. This is the idea of Purim. The Gemara tells us, an unusual story. The Gemara Megillah, it's a difficult story, one that needs explanation. The Gemara says that there was Rabbah made a Purim Suda. And Rabbah invited Reb Zera. We all know the story. And Gemara says, Rabbah is Vasim, he drank wine. But come Rabbah v'shochel Reb Zera, Rabbah got up and he shechted Reb Zera. The next morning he realized what happened. It was Mechai Mezim, he brought him back to life. Along came the next year, he said, Reb Zera, please come to my Purim Suda again. And Reb Zera said, listen, lo kol yom yisrach nisa, I'm not going to listen every day. I'm not. And it's a very, very difficult story. Because if I were to ask any of us, get us as drunk as you like, completely hammered, we're not going to take a knife and kill anybody. It's the idea of murder so far beyond us, we're never going to do that. And here we're talking about Rabbah, Migdoli Amiroim, one of the biggest and the greatest Amiroim, because he got drunk, if it's something, it doesn't mean drunk, because he got tipsy, he's going to go and kill another Amir. That makes sense. And the Mefarshim struggled to understand this story. So I'd like to suggest, using the idea we built up then, I'd like to suggest the following. The Gaon tells us that Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov Yom Kippur. הוא עושה שחיונו, הם בעצם דימן זה קידש, אני דימן זה סודו, סודו זה מצווה, סודו זה יום טוב. ובינג את זה יום כיפה יצא תנס, we can't have a סודו, we can't eat. He says the guy, we do have a סודו יום כיפה. The סודו יום כיפה is סודו פורים. סודו פורים is the סודו יום כיפה. And it's brought down that the Maharil used to come home from shul on Purim morning and sit down immediately by Soda. He would sit the whole day in his Soda, and he would his chuvas that he used to write from the letters he received, he would sit there writing during the Soda. He didn't write his chuvas and then sit down to the Soda. He sat down to the Soda and wrote the chuvas, because the Ikka Hayim is the Soda. The Soda is the... How does the Soda of Purim translate to Yom Kippur? What's the... Glad you can understand this with the idea we said till now, that Klal Yisrael are the ones that connect this world to the Ruchnis. We connect to the Akash Baruch Hu, we connect this world to the world above, to everything, holy, to everything. And through that we bring down Bracha, all comes to this world. And the story of Purim, which we just explained, was a story where Klal Yisrael nearly lost that. Therefore there was a gzera of destruction, it could happen. And Mordechai brought that back. So Purim, in that essence, is the day when we reconnect. Himu Mashe Kiblu Kva. They reconnect to Kedusha. They reconnect to Torah. They reconnect to this level, to the world above, to the Olam Haruchni, which is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day when we light Malachim. There's a fundamental difference between Yom Kippur and Purim. Yom Kippur, we sit that we fast. We have chemishes in Inuim. We sit there with our kittles like Malachim. We say Baruch Shem loud. We're not really in this world. If the Svarim tell us that in Yom Kippur there's no even Yetzirah. There's no Yetzirah, it's just a bottle in Yom Kippur. One day a year there's no Yetzirah. No Sot in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur we're not in this world, we're above. We're elevated, we're separate. Memela automatically we can go up to levels, you can reach tremendous heights. Purim's the other way around. Purim's when we come into this world, we take this world, we take the physicalities of this world, we take what's possibly the lowest level of this world, drink, which is the lowest, the lowest man can sink is drink, the lowest level of this world, and we elevate that. We, through that itself, we connect and we reconnect to the world, to Eidam Ar-Rukhni, we reconnect to Kata HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps so we can understand the story of Rabbi. When Reb Zera came to Rabbi's house, the Gemara tells us Shochat to Reb Zera. What does it mean Shochat? Shochat, Shechita, is when you disconnect the head from the body. The head and the body, you disconnect the two. The head is the seat of the Neshama. The body is the seat of the physical. Rabbi Shochet, he disconnected, that they were able to reach such heights from the Sudas Purim, of Rabbi Sudas Purim, they reached such levels of Kedusha, that the Meir Reb Zera's Neshama left his body. He disconnected the Rosh, the Neshama, from the Guf, from the physical. Reb Zera wasn't able to reach such heights and still stay within this world. Rabbi, on the other hand, was. Says Reb Zera, next year, Rabbi said, let's go again, we can reach tremendous levels of Kedusha, let's do it again. Reb Zera said, no, I can't take the risk this time. What happens this time if you're not able to mechayim esim? This is the lesson of Sudas Purim. That Klal Yisrael, we have the ability on Purim through drink to reconnect through the Kimu Mashe Kiblu Kva, to reconnect to the tremendous levels of Kedusha, to appreciate the amount of bracha that comes down specifically through this time, through the fact that Klal Yisrael are the ones who connect to the Olam Haruchni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezakas that we should be the ones this year to connect that level of Kedusha and to bring down the bracha in such a way that it should be in the Briyas HaGerub Mehira. Amen.